Would you please find in your Bibles the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew? Matthew chapter 11. I want to talk to you this evening on the subject of the easy way to heaven. I suspect that some folks seeing that title may say, I didn't know there was one. But I believe there is one. I believe that the Scriptures, and no less than Jesus himself, talks about a way that can be accurately described as an easy way to get to heaven. In the 11th chapter of Matthew, in a rather famous passage, verses 28 through 30, we see where Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my load is light. I suppose that when we look at this and we take to heart what Jesus has to say here about his yoke being easy and the load that he would call upon us to carry being light, we might be inclined to ask, did he read chapter 10? Because if you just back up to chapter 10, you see where in verse 17, for instance, Jesus, talking to his disciples, tells them that that there will be those who will deliver you over to courts. They will deliver you to scourging in synagogues. There is in the Matthew, the 10th chapter, and in several other passages of Scripture, there is evidence that there was going to be a challenge for those that would follow Jesus. And there would be some difficulties that they would encounter and they would have to overcome. He goes on further into the 10th chapter and talks about the fact that he had not come to bring peace on the earth. In verse 34, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. And then he talks about the dividing even of families between mothers and daughters, and fathers and sons, and so forth, as people would be called upon to make choices. And they were going to be difficult choices, but choices that they must make. So, in light of passages like that, it might be somewhat difficult to accept the notion that you can accurately talk about an easy way to heaven. But I would say to you that when I talk about an easy way to heaven, I believe that what Jesus has to say about this yoke that is easy and this load that is light, that he's not talking about easy in the sense of being without opposition, without challenges, but rather he's talking about easy in the sense of there being a clearly marked way to follow. Clearly and easily understood way of comprehending what God wants of us and of being able to fulfill those desires that he has of us so that we might indeed go to heaven. Well, I think this introduces a passage of Scripture that probably has been brought to your attention before on many occasions. But I think it's a passage of Scripture that sheds some light on this idea of finding the easy way to go to heaven. And it's recorded in 1 Peter chapter 4 and in verse 11, where the Apostle Peter says, whoever speaks, let him speak as it were, the utterances of God. Whoever serves, let him do so by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. As I say this, I'm certain is a familiar passage to many, in which we find the Apostle Peter urging his brethren to give very close attention to the things that God has to say. Basically, it seems to me that what Peter sets forth here, and what is indeed set forth in many passages of Scripture, is that there is a two-step guide, if you will, to this easy way to heaven. A two-step guide that will make it easy for us to be what we ought to be and to do what we ought to do. And here are the two steps. Read carefully. Follow the directions. Now, in view of the fact that this audience is comprised of a number of men, I understand that that's going to be a challenge, this notion of where are the directions and then following those directions. I'm afflicted with the same gene that many of you fellows are afflicted with, and that is, oh, we don't need any directions. You know, we can get this done. We can don't need the instructions. But that will not get you to the easy way to get to heaven. So let's look at what Matthew records that Jesus said in this 11th chapter, and give some thought to this yoke that is easy and this load that is light. Well, it's going to be necessary for us to understand what a yoke is. And I know that several of you know very well what a yoke is from firsthand experience. You've grown up on a farm. You've had experiences dealing with animals and putting them into a yoke. But to city boys like me, it's an experience that is just completely unfamiliar. A yoke was simply a collar, if you will, as depicted in these pictures, that an animal was placed into, and by which it was made able to do the things that its master wanted done. A yoke, I think that in times past I've thought in terms of a yoke as being, well, that was just the thing that made it possible for, you know, oxen to pull a wagon. I mean, you had to have that yoke around its collar, around its neck, and it could pull because it had that yoke. And that in part is accurate. But really, a yoke was the instrument through which the master of that animal got his will done. It was because the animal wore this yoke that it knew when to pull. It knew what direction to pull in and things of that nature. The yoke was the means by which the master exerted his desire over the animal. Well, Jesus says, "My yoke is easy." I think it's interesting that Jesus would discuss the implementation of a yoke here as he talks about his relationship to his disciples. I mean, what Jesus wants to do is to exert his will through his disciples. And the only way to do that is if his disciples are willing to put upon themselves his yoke and allow him then to govern their lives. I find it interesting that Jesus discusses this. And it is in part because, of course, he is in an agricultural society at this time. These folks knew, you know, firsthand, knew very well what yoke was. But probably the experiences of Jesus growing up as a boy with Joseph as his earthly father, Joseph the carpenter. Jesus probably saw Joseph making yokes like this. Jesus may himself, in helping around the shop, so to speak, he may have been involved in making these kinds of yokes. But now, as he is the teacher of God's word, as he is the proclaimer of what God wants from his people, now Jesus speaks in terms of this yoke that is to be placed upon his disciples. And we go back then to that statement in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11, where we saw the Apostle Peter's affirmation that whoever speaks, let him speak, as it were, the utterances of God. Peter is talking about being willing to accept some limitations in what we speak, what we affirm, what we proclaim, what we do, what we practice, to be willing to accept some limitations to only those things that God has uttered, to only those things that God has said and spoken. I suspect that many of you have heard lessons taught, either in classes or in sermons, that you've heard lessons speaking to the importance of being willing to speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent. And they are needful lessons, to be sure. And you may have thought in sometimes past, well, you know, that's kind of a notion that my mom and dad thought was important, or that's something that the preacher thought was important, and so he talked about. I want to tell you that that's not an idea that your mother and father came up with. It's not an idea that this preacher or any other preacher came up with on their own. I think probably those who preach may be a little more susceptible to this than others. It's true of others as well, but I think sometimes we may, in our studies, come across things, notions, applications, you know, in our studies, and think, wow, that's an entirely new thought. You know, I have come up with an original thought. Not true. Just not true. For this preacher or for any other preacher. The fact of the matter is that certainly in the things that we are willing to declare and to proclaim, they ought not to be new thoughts. This is not even something that is true just of the Apostle Peter and the Christians of the New Testament. This is a principle. This is an idea. This willingness to put on this yoke that in ways limits us and restricts us and what we practice and what we believe. It's an old, an ancient notion. Turn, if you would, back to the Old Testament, the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 6, and we find, again, in a somewhat well-known passage, verse 16, we're told that thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths. What is he's talking about? Standing in the ways, to looking for certain paths, to be asking for certain kinds of paths. We're talking tonight about the easy way to heaven, the path, if you will, that will lead us to heaven. Stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. And you will find, what? Rest for your souls. Remember what Jesus said back there in our text? That those who would take his yoke upon them, this yoke that is easy, who would bear the burden that he calls upon them to bear, this load that is light, he said, and you will find rest for your souls. Well, Jeremiah was talking about that in the days of his people. You'll find rest for your souls. Tragically, however, the 16th verse ends with their response, which is, we will not walk in it. There is a way, Jeremiah said. Look for the way. There are paths. Search out and find the paths that lead to the way that is good. These are the good ways. This is the good way. And walk in it. And they said, we'll have nothing to do with it. I think it goes back to that idea of this two-step guide. Jeremiah was calling upon his people in his day to read carefully and to follow the directions. And they said, no, we won't do it. Following the directions is sometimes a challenge. I think a lot of times about directions that I've received in life about how to get from one place to another. And sometimes it's kind of a challenge. You know, what I want somebody to do is just tell me, okay, you go two blocks to the traffic light, you turn right, and we're the third driveway on the left. But a lot of times the directions I get are, okay, you drive 2 blocks to the light. Now, in those 2 blocks, you're going to pass a McDonald's on the right-hand side of the road. And then just beyond that, on the left-hand side of the road, there's going to be a gas station. And then there's a fire hydrant directly across the street from that gas station. And then just before you get to the end of that second block where you're going to turn right, there's usually a lady standing out there walking her dog. Turn right there. After you turn right there, you will proceed down with the third driveway on the left. Now, the first house that you will pass by on the left has a traditionally shingled roof. The next house has one of the fire-resistant roofs, and our house is the one that doesn't have a roof at all. But, you know, you get a lot of details, and sometimes it's kind of tedious listening to all of those details. But, you know, when you get out on the road and you start down the way, it, in many ways, is kind of reassuring to see the McDonald's over there on the right-hand side, and then the gas station that you pass that has the fire hydrant directly across from it. And then when you make that right-hand turn, to see those two houses with the differing kinds of roofs on them, it's a little bit reassuring to know as you go along the way these marks that show, yeah, I am going in the right direction. Seems to me that's in many ways what God has done in His Bible, in His Word. In the utterances that Peter calls upon his readers to hear and to abide by, it's a well-marked and easily followed way to get to where we're trying to get to, and that's to heaven. Read carefully. Follow the directions. That's the key to making it through the easy way to heaven. That would have been the key to the people of Jeremiah's day, to identify the way that is good and the way in which they should walk. But going back to what Jesus had to say in Matthew chapter 11, the second element that he discusses in this statement about the easy way is that he talks about a load that's light. Not only is the yoke described as being easy, that is, his exertion of His will over us is done in an easy fashion, but also what we are expected to carry is not too burdensome. It's not too heavy for us. After all, when you know, those pictures we had of the animals that were in the yokes, they were being suited in order to bear loads, oftentimes heavy loads. And loads can very often be too heavy for us. As you look in the Gospel of Luke, you find where Jesus talks to part of his audience, Luke chapter 11 and verse 46. Where he says, "Woe to you lawyers as well." Now he has pronounced a series of woes preceding this verse against those, the Pharisees and the scribes and others. But in verse 45, we're told that after he has done this, that a lawyer stood up and said, "Well, you're insulting us too." And I think said this before, but I will repeat it again as quickly as I can. That is, when we think about lawyers referred to in the gospel, we ought not to think about Jeremy and attorneys at law that we're familiar with. Really, what we ought to think about is David. they're more like preachers, really. These individuals that are studied in and looked upon as being reliable sources of information about what the law says, these were the lawyers that Jesus was addressing, and to whom he said in verse 46, "Woe to you lawyers as well, for you weigh men down with burdens hard to bear, while you yourselves will not even touch the burdens with one of your fingers." You got a picture here of a fellow that is indeed burdened down with a heavy burden, and that's exactly the image that Jesus is drawing here for his audience. That is of people with religious expectations that have been placed upon them that are burdensome, that are hard to carry. Now these were not burdens that were placed upon them by God. That's part of what Jesus is saying in Matthew, the 11th chapter, is the load that he would have us to carry is a light load. Where do men get such heavy, burdensome, religious loads that they try to carry? Well, it's from other men is where these come from. And that's exactly where these that Jesus is describing here when he talks about these heavy loads. It's exactly where these came from. They came from men. They came from the scribes and the Pharisees, and they came from the lawyers. And interestingly, Jesus says in his day, and I think it's borne out even in our own day and time, is that those that require the carrying of such heavy man-made burdens don't carry them themselves. He says you don't even lift a finger to try and carry such burdens. But you do require others to carry them. Later on in this chapter, down towards the end, Jesus says in verse 52, "For you have taken away," he's still talking to the lawyers, "you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourselves, and those who were entering in, you hindered." Notice what he says, "you have taken away." He says, "you have taken away the key of knowledge." Read carefully. Follow the directions. That's what knowledge is. That's how knowledge is obtained and applied. It's by reading carefully, by following the directions. It's by being willing to be people who will say only what God has uttered. They will require only what God has required. And will not, by their own choice, they will not require the carrying of burdens that God did not require. Because such burdens, quite frankly, just are too heavy. And they cannot be successfully born. I don't know where that picture comes from, but it says India to me. but it so well it demonstrates. Here is this one who is trying to carry a load, trying to bear a load that is simply beyond its capability to carry. And that's what Jesus is saying to us. That is, that his load is light. It will not be too burdensome for us to carry. Now, I think sometimes we may try to convince ourselves that, oh, well, you know, God just expects too much. No. No, he doesn't. He says he doesn't. He says he won't. And he has provided to us an easy way to get to him. Not a way that is without challenges, without difficulties, but a way that is well marked, a way that is easily followed, and a way that will successfully end in the desired destination. My question to you this evening is just this. What is your desired destination? Where is it that you do, in fact, want to go? I read a series of articles one time that was, I thought was quite appropriately titled, How to Get Home from Here. And it was actually a series of articles from 1 Peter. The epistle of 1 Peter. And as you might expect, the author in one of his articles makes the point that, of course, one thing that we've got to do is to speak the utterances of God. But that's the only way that we can get home from here. Are you willing to take upon you the yoke that is easy, to lift the load that is light, and by doing so, follow the directions of the Lord? If you would come to him tonight in faith that he is the Son of God, in turning from your sins, confessing your faith in him, and being baptized, washing the guilt of your sins away, you'll be made clean before God. You'll become one of his children. And you will have set your feet on the path that is the good way, as Jeremiah put it. That is the way, ultimately, to heaven. Have you set out on that path and in sometimes past strayed from it? Found another direction to follow in your life? Why won't you come back? Because the yoke is easy still, and the load is still light. Will you not take it up? Won't you come to him tonight while we stand and sing?